Father, I thank you that because we are your children, because your Holy Spirit lives in us, that there's a whole nother thing that we have that is not tied to our failures, our inside voice of unsureness. It's not tied to other people's opinions. It is the opinion of the Almighty God. And he speaks and he says, this is who you are. It's not your opinion of yourself. It's not you trying to have a good day. It's not your best words or your best foot forward. It is God Almighty, the creator of this world, who comes and he speaks to you and he says, this is who you are. And you can live like that now. This is who you are. This is who I made you to be. This is who you are in Jesus. And you are unique in my mind. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit does something in us that nobody or no one can do. And you call us by name. And you say, you are mine. What an amazing, amazing privilege to be loved by our God. And if you agree, say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, that was pretty good, eh? Nice. Love it when God speaks to us. And when his Spirit is just doing the things they're doing. Hey, do we get to do that theme song again? Or? Okay, good. Kind of like that one. That was pretty good. All right, friends, if you are just joining us for this time, we got some really good, rich stuff from Pastor Bruce and Miriam. And I love how you guys like tag team on this. Good couple stuff you got going on. Bruce is somebody who, like I said last night, has a deep well and is incredibly wise. And you are going to hear from somebody who's lived the life, done the stuff. Hey, Bruce, tell me this is true. Had your heart broken a few times? Had people say things about you that were terrible? Right? All that kind of stuff. And you know what? I love people who have lived their whole life, gone through it all, and they come out with a smile on their face because it's Jesus that's important to them. Give Bruce a cheer.
One of the things that we will share on Saturday morning as we get ready to leave for home is very crucial to what you just said. If you can be in the ministry for nearly 50 years and stay sweet and keep short accounts and keep loving the Lord, the reason is that I believed a long time ago, in fact, we've proved it all through our lives, nobody can hurt me if I choose to forgive them. And so we're going to share on that theme on Saturday morning. Now, tomorrow night, and some of you may have these, did you pick up your note papers that give the title for each of the sessions? They're out at the back if you need one, and I have some up here. And you'll notice that tomorrow night, we're going to shift gears from our Wednesday theme and our Thursday theme, which are connected, and we're going to talk tomorrow night. And Miriam and I will share from our hearts, it's not just for couples. Here's the reason that we're talking about this theme of what is the biblical design for sexual intimacy. Is it part of the devil's curse? There are people who believe that. And there are people who think it's just nothing more than a burden. And then there are other people who it's a blessing. I've put it this way on occasion. Is it a life sentence or is it life amazing? And so what we want to do is speak into the secular mindset that has made a real confusion for young people. And as we talked Aubrey about this and whether this would be appropriate for this group. And Aubrey felt very strongly that it would be appropriate. Because if we're not speaking to our teenagers about this truth, that God has designed sexuality and we are male and female, and as your own pastor said on Father's Day, there are only two genders. And we need to say it loudly and clearly that God's not confused. God knows exactly what he's doing and why he did it, and we need to work with it. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. And we're going to talk to you. In fact, did you know that everyone who gets married brings a suitcase on their honeymoon? And I don't mean for your shaving stuff. We bring a suitcase. In fact, Miriam is going to bring her big bag on Friday evening, and she's going to pull things out of her honeymoon bag. And we learned very, very quickly some of the things that jumped out of that bag. And we're going to talk to you about that. So that's very appropriate for young people. And also, there may be some of you that are single or single for the second time. And we just want you to know we love you. And anything we share is not going to be hurtful. We really want you to be blessed, okay? So tomorrow night, we're going to shift themes and see if God has. And I am so encouraged, and I'll tell you why. Because last night I stood up here and I did my best to share what I felt God had put on my heart to share with you. And then at the very end of my sharing, one of the pastors, I think it was Dwayne or both, they said, "Did you attend our staff meeting? Because that's what we're going to do this fall." And I thought, okay, I can risk. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the right place. And Miriam and I have come here in the will of God, and we are delighted to be so loved and so encouraged and so blessed by all of you. So let's pick up. For those who weren't here last night, we'll try a little bit of review so you can pick up as to where we came from last night. So, for lack of a better title, Lifestyle Evangelism Part 2. And because everybody at Church of the Rock knows that Mark is an evangelist, I encouraged all of you to look on it this way. Yes, I can just come and watch him do his thing. He's good at it. Or I can actually come and feel like I am a participator. Because I shared with someone this week at work or at school or wherever, and I look over and there they are attending, and I have been part of bringing them, and I'm praying that they'll cross over that angle scale cross and move from a seeker over to someone who has accepted Christ. So wouldn't it be exciting if all of us, week after week, and this fall, that's the emphasis in your church, that you would all become participators in praying for people on your list and thinking about the angle scale. How many would never forget that? Those 10 people on each side, right? And everybody you know is somewhere on that scale, either way over here without any, hardly any spiritual conscience at all, or all the way over here to number one, ready to go over the cross and come to Christ. So I encourage you to be thinking about that and to be praying about that. And the text that we used last night, and I think it's a great text, from 1 Peter. Say it out loud with me. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. That's the Bible, right? So think about how I can talk to people who have a secular mindset, who have no understanding of the Bible, who have never gone to church. How can I help to answer their questions? And then John 3:16, I think this is the basis for our two-part series. And let's say this out loud together. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. So here's what stands out for me. He gave his one and only Son. We live in a secular world that says there's 14 ways or 140 ways. We believe that there's one Jesus, one virgin-born Son of God, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, died for our sin, buried in a tomb, rose again, ascended into the Father's right hand, and is coming again. That's it. We don't have any other tricks. That's all we have. That's the substitutionary death of Jesus. And I encourage you, do not shift away from the substitutionary death of Jesus. Let me share with you. The Sermon on the Mount is wonderful, but the Sermon on the Mount does not tell us how to get saved. The Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' way of getting the bar so high that you wouldn't try to do it without his resurrection power. Hallelujah. And boy, we live in a world they're trying to shift us into that do-gooder, 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 do-gooder nonsense. It is not about us becoming better. This line Miriam and I just got connected to a couple of days ago. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Hallelujah. And so we know why we're here. We know why we've come to share the gospel with others. Praise the Lord. So why do we read John 3:16? Because you and I want to love the people God loves. Intentionally love what he loves. God so loved the world that he gave. The world, every person in the world, everyone all around the world. So we talked last night about learning to tell our story, seeing people on the angle scale, and being ready to be able to share the gospel with them. I want to ask if there are any here that actually went back to your motel room or your camper or wherever and tried to write your story in 3 minutes. Wave at me. Ah, how did you do? Did you get it done? Did it work? 1 minute on what it used to be like, 1 minute about how I came to Christ, and 1 minute on how my life mission has changed since I've come to know the Lord. So give that a shot. And I want to say to those that commented to me and came by and said, your wife's testimony really touched us. And people came to me and said, my. God really protected her and kept his hand upon her, and that's so true. And when you hear us tomorrow night, we will share a little bit about what we've learned on our life journey and how important forgiveness has become in our lives. And you will want, and if you'd like to read her testimony, we made a few copies for you, and we want you to just know that we've come, Miriam and Bruce, lock, stock, and barrel, everything we are. We're an open book. We have nothing to hide. We are so glad to be here, and we want to be a help. So God bless all of you for being here tonight. Now, here's a couple of things that are a bit of a review, but it's where I'm starting this second session. When I say assume the burden of conversation, assume the burden of conversation. How many know that we live in a world? Do you ever get in an elevator with 6 or 7 or 8 people at the medical center and nobody says a word to anybody? You ever hear that? It just goes, and everyone looks down. I believe that it is as believers in Christ, we need to be, and I know that there are some in this room that don't need any encouragement to speak to people in an elevator. I know that. And some of you are married to them. And so you go through pain every time you go, oh dear, can you not just leave people alone? Why do you have to always talk to them? Oh, leave them alone, leave them alone. But I want to talk to even those of us who are timid at times. Is there a way that we can say something that may be the way God uses to bring them close to us? And I remember 5 or 6 years ago, my daughter, who was putting her son at the time in grade one or kindergarten or whatever it was, in a public school, and she was standing there at the registration, and it was through that one comment, everyone was silent. Nobody was talking to anybody, and God opened a wonderful door of witness. So I just want to encourage us to think about what that, assuming the burden of conversation, and in just a moment, I'm going to prove from the Bible that it's biblical, that there can be a God-given burden of conversation that we need to have. Because, why? Because we love who God loves. Okay? It's not a cult. We're not trying to teach people to push something. We're talking about the love of God, and we need to love what God loves. And people is who God loves. So every person we meet is on the angle scale somewhere, and every person is someone God loves, and we need to take that burden of conversation and say, how do I break into their silent world? How do I say, hi, my name is? Have you lived here long? How long have you worked here? And I pray that God will give you the opportunity to learn that, assume the burden of conversation. So I encourage you, take the risk, and then this little 3-minute testimony, if you get permission, and here's how this happens. If someone asks you a question, are you religious? That's a question that I've been asked many, many times. Are you religious? In order to answer your question, I'd like to share a little of my life story, including my faith journey. Would that be okay? Wait for permission and then go ahead. Now, as I said last night, there's lots of people in this room, not lots, but at least a dozen of you, that you don't need permission to share with people because you just take it. And you do that because it's your gift. You know, sharing Jesus is easy for you. And this whole thing about having a pastor try to convince people to talk about Jesus, that's ridiculous. I mean, the minute you came up from being saved, the minute you experienced the love of God, you went around hugging trees. I mean, you just had a changed heart, a changed life. How many in this room can tell me out loud, just like this, you had a dramatic conversion and you've been red hot ever since? There are people in this room like that. I have, at Calvary Temple, my wife and I could name a half a dozen people that you don't need to encourage them one little bit. They know exactly what God saved them to do, and they go do it. But do you know that well over 90% of believers feel hesitant? And all I'm trying to do is give you a few tools to see if God can break you into someone's world. Okay? So don't be embarrassed if you're a little shy. As I told you last night, I'd say every week, I get past a situation by about 2 minutes. I get back in the car or I come out of a store and I go, how did I miss that? God gave me that wide open and I didn't take it. You say, oh, pastor, you would never do that. You're a pastor. You know everything. No, I'm fearful. I want to be liked. I don't want to offend people. I want to share when the Lord opens the door. And sometimes I just plain miss it. Sometimes it's because of fear, but you know, oftentimes it's because of absent-mindedness. How does Miriam put that? Bruce, you got to listen. You got to listen, Bruce. Did you hear what she said to you? So I encourage you. Oh, I'm glad I made you smile, because somewhere we all need to get on the side of we're going to listen better. We're going to try to ask better questions. We're going to try to engage people who need Jesus. So watch for and always be gentle and respectful. You've seen that throughout what I've shared. We don't do it in harshness. We don't do it in anger. We do it in love and gentleness and respect. So watch for God moments when you're engaging people. Now, how many would like the biblical basis for this God, the burden of conversation and the taking opportunity together, taking a risk, sharing your story? Always remember the law of permission. So let's turn to John chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Put it up on the screen. This is Jesus. I think Jesus would be a good example to follow. So you know this story. Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, the truth is, he went to Samaria because he is being nudged. Now, there are some who would say that he was all-knowing so that he knew what was going to happen. Others would say that he was being obedient to the Father because he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So for whatever reason, he knew, I've got an appointment in Samaria. And then he said, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, can you give me a drink? And she went, a Jewish man talking to a woman? What's up? How many know Jesus knew exactly what he was up to? He says, I'm going to rock your world, girl. And he asked the question. He spoke the words. He spoke it out. And he was not afraid. And he knew that a life change, a moment of dramatic conversion was going to happen for her. But he spoke those words. He assumed the burden of conversation. She did not speak first. He spoke first. And I just want to encourage you, and I don't mean you have to be somebody that you are not. But I want you to know God wants to give you the strength and the courage to assume the burden of conversation and to break into people's world. And you have no idea how many people are just desperately wanting to talk to somebody about their pain, about their recent marriage breakup, about the death of their brother-in-law, whatever is bothering them. They are just desperate. And you come along and say, is there anything that I can do to help? And I encourage you, burden of conversation, and you think about it next week when the memory of the rain today is long gone. Say, wasn't that a warm, lovely time we had at CAP? But I want you to hear it. Burden of conversation, burden of conversation. Watch for an opening, watch for an opening. And so I encourage you to take that home with you. Do you want another one? This is my favorite in all the Bible, Acts chapter 8. This is a man named Philip. Watch for it. He started out. In fact, the Lord said, now, in this wonderful charismatic environment, we could make it the story a little more dramatic. Go down and stand on the road that goes to Africa and just stand there and wait. A word from the Lord, right? Go down there and wait. And he did. And he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a big shot, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Now, in that culture, very wealthy people could pay to go on pilgrimages to the holy spots. And part of going to the holy spot for this very important treasurer of Ethiopia was that he went to the temple bookstore and bought the scroll of Isaiah. And he's a seeker. He's looking for God. And he's up there in Jerusalem looking for God. And he's on his way back to Ethiopia. And Philip left a revival in Samaria where people were getting healed and saved. And he went down there because God knows every soul and knows how he's going to bring them and knows how he's going to bring you to the place where you can lead them. And so Philip is down there doing what the Lord has asked him to do. So, seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book he had bought, the scroll he had bought in the temple bookstore, and it was the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." And Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip called up to him and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" It's as simple as you in the lunchroom, and the person's reading a newspaper, and the heading has to do with the Middle East blowing up or some other headline, and you go, "Hey, what do you think of that? Does it scare you? What do you think of it?" This man carried the burden of confirmation, and we also know this guy had security and he was a big shot, and somehow he got permission to go up and sit in the chair beside him, and he began to teach him from that point of scripture in the prophet Isaiah. He will be crucified, he will suffer, and he began to talk to him about Jesus. How many are thankful that's in the Bible? Because he went down there obedient to the Spirit. He waited. He heard him reading. He came alongside. "Do you understand what you're reading?" How can I? Is he talking about himself or some other man? And he said, "Do I have permission to come up and sit beside you?" "Get up here." So as I read this, I get really excited about the potential that there is in this room for Christians to become awake to the Holy Spirit. How many are convinced? There's that wonderful passage in 1 Peter. "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of repentance." Do you believe that passage? Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that God's heart aches for Winnipeg, for every single person, for every person that comes to Canada from all over the world, that God's already got a plan for them in Winnipeg? And we never know when we're in on it. And so, "Hi, my name is, how are you? How long you been in Canada?" I just encourage you to feel called by God. Feel called by God. So the carrying on the burden of conversation, very important. I forget it a lot. And I say, no, you can't go back and recreate that. But remember the next time, be prepared to initiate a conversation. And you say, Pastor Bruce, do you mean talking to a total stranger? Yes. Yes. Not crazy. Not embarrassing. Not getting in their face. Not making them run away. Just, and then maybe one time it'll just pass and nothing will happen. But you never know. You never know. And I've had people break into tears. Now it's a little different for me because I'm fairly recognizable in the city and I've been on the media a lot. And so sometimes when I speak to a total stranger, they'll burst into tears. I was asking God to send somebody to me. And I go, well, I think Jesus knows where you're at. And let's talk about it. And so I just want to encourage you to not be afraid. So four reminders when engaging people. And I think we need to be very sensitive about this, but I believe this is very important, whether it's at work or in your neighborhood or whoever it might be. Now, I just want to, this isn't in my notes, but I wanted to say this to you. Miriam and I are very intentional about trying to build bridges to our neighbors. Now, we're not always successful. Miriam and I actually took a couple that called us on a Sunday and said, we're in trouble. Would you have time for us? And we had them in our home, and there was marital, real difficult problems and some mental illness issues. And so we volunteered to take them through Alpha. And Alpha we do at our church. We've been doing it for over 20 years. We've done it three times a year for 20 years. And literally hundreds of people have come to faith in Jesus through Alpha. And so Miriam and I got the material from the church. And we, for 13 weeks, took that couple through Alpha, week by week by week by week. We did our very best. We asked them to receive Christ. We did everything we could do. And then 6 months to a year later, she ran away from her home and her children and her family. And we were very sad. And I just want you to know, when you get involved in the work of God, especially if you get involved with people who have any kind of mental health issues or addictions, how many know that you might have the odd disappointment? And we need to love people enough to give them the chance to fail, but we also need to love them enough to give them the chance to succeed. And so I encourage you, don't give up on people too soon. And keep on keeping on. I want to tell you about the one neighbor. This is where I started, and I somehow got over there. But I don't know how that happens. I'm so sharp. I don't know why. Anyway, you laughed a little loud, brother. I heard you. We have a neighbor on one side. They're just delightful. Delightful, delightful. The day we moved, the day they moved in, we were there ahead of them, and she says, we're your new neighbors right over here. And she had heard who I was, and she came over, and she said, I just want you to know, I'm so glad that you're my neighbor. I just want you to know I'm a lapsed Catholic. A lapsed Catholic. Can you imagine someone saying that? And I said, oh, that's good. So we talk about, here's where we can agree. We can agree, you know what Catholics can agree with you on, right? Original sin. And Jesus, born of a virgin. They've been saying that all their lives. They never thought much about what it meant, but they sure believe it. And so we've traveled now for 15 years with them. Not too long ago, we were in their home, and she likes to do fancy meals for us, and she did mussels this night, and boy, she laid it on. And do you know what he said to me? Because I took the burden of conversation and asked him questions about personal relationship with Jesus, and he says, "Bruce, I guess what I need to tell you is I haven't really got my exit strategy worked out yet." Those are the words he said. So every once in a while, "Are you working on your exit strategy, Bill?" He says, "You're sure I said that, eh?" I said, "I'm very sure you said that." So what I want you to feel and from me is that, yes, there are people who give the impression that everybody they ever witnessed to gets saved. I had a dad like that. Everybody he prayed for got healed. Everybody he witnessed to got saved. It wasn't quite that way. I want to tell you honestly that not everybody I've witnessed to has come to Christ. But I know this, that I have also had people come to Christ, and I barely got the words out of my mouth. Because God was going to do it. I think God would have used a post. You know, like God was on their track. They were coming to Christ no matter what, because God was drawing them by His Spirit, and I just came as easy as peasy. So I just want to encourage you, be prayerful, work on that list, pray over those people, see, envision people on the angle scale. Boy, I'm positive that person moved from 10 to 6 today because God's Holy Spirit was working with us. So I want to encourage you in that. And so it's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. You are not forcing people to receive Christ. How many know that doesn't work? That doesn't work because they'll rebel. They'll say, "No, I don't want to do that." And I know people who push ahead and get people to say words, but I'll just say this kindly as I know how. I have worked with people over these 47 and a half, 48 years of pastoring, and I barely got three words out of my mouth, and they were so saved, it was unbelievable. And I've had other people pray a prayer 3 or 4 minutes long and confess and do everything, and nothing happened. Because it's the heart that has to be ready to receive the Lord. And when that miracle of the new birth happens, you couldn't stop it if you tried. And so I encourage you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be a partner with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a little harder to do. I intentionally expand your sphere of influence. Expand your sphere of influence. In other words, go where pre-Christians are. Now, I know standing in the halls of Church of the Rock may be a good place to find, you know, you might get to lead one of the pastors to the Lord or something like that. But you liked that, didn't you? Intentionally go where people who need the Lord are present. Now, I do one caveat. If you have come out of an addictions background, if alcohol has been the thing that nearly destroyed your life, likely you don't want to have a bar ministry of witnessing to people who are half looped. You know, that might not be your calling. And I'm saying this sincerely. Stay away from the legions and go somewhere else. Witness with people at the pickleball court. That's where young people play pickleball. Thirdly, sharing your faith is all about God's timing. All about God's timing. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to be a week early. I don't want to be a week late. I want to be right on time. So, Lord, whatever you're going to do. And that's a good way to wake up every morning and say, Lord, I don't know who I'm going to meet today, but I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, help me to be there right on time. I want to be guided by your Holy Spirit. And if someone walks in front of your path and they're crying like a baby, say, hello, is there any way I can help? I've asked the Lord. In fact, this little illustration, it's so wonderfully true. When Miriam and I had our 50th wedding anniversary last September the 8th, we were married in 1972 on September the 8th, and so our children had a party to celebrate us, and they took us up to Selkirk to my son's church, and they turned the sanctuary into a beautiful, you know, arches and balloons and all kinds of nice stuff. And at the time, my 12-year-old, she's now going to be 13 real soon, but a granddaughter and a grandson, the two oldest from two different daughters, went together, and the one daughter, my third daughter, wrote the script. And they did a little tee-off on their grandparents. And Hurley was his papa, and Aubrey was her grandma. And it was really cute to watch. I mean, it was just so true to life. My daughter nailed us, you know, like they got Miriam in the background. The phone rings, and I pick up the phone. Well, it was Hurley picked up the phone. No, you don't want any. Hang up. And they had grandma down to a T. She's always after me for feeling sorry for the salesman and buying something I don't even need because I don't want to hurt them. And so they got her nailed. And then they got me in a grocery store. They got me in a grocery store. And I'm talking to the sales clerk. And I say to the sales clerk, you know, how are you doing? And then the sales clerk talks to me. And then I say these words. And my grandkids have heard me say it many times. Do you know of anyone that would be praying for you? Because I just have a sense that usually when I meet someone and it's so quickly that I get to know them, usually there's a reason. There's somebody praying for you. Do you know who it would be? And often the person says, well, that's easy. My aunt sends us Christmas cards every year and puts tracts in the Christmas card. She's always witnessing to us. Are you one of them? And I just want you to know, friends, my grandkids got it. They understood, and my daughter helped them say the right words, but I just want you to know, the thing that is the driving thing inside of me is this, that I believe that there's a grandmother in Newfoundland praying for a grandchild that ran away 20 years ago, is in Winnipeg, lives in an apartment within half a block of where I served for 25 years. And this grandmother is in Newfoundland saying, Lord, somehow send somebody to my kid. And every day I get up, I'm listening for the assignment from the Holy Spirit. I don't know who the grandmother is. I never will. I don't. But I'm telling you, I very, very seldom speak to anyone on an airplane, wherever I am, and I ask them the same question. You know, it's funny that I'm sitting beside you, and sometimes when I'm coming back into Winnipeg, they're Winnipeggers, so they recognize me. And I say, you know, it's kind of funny that I would be sitting beside you. Do you know of anybody who's praying for you that has a concern for the part of you inside? Well, funny that you asked that. There's a welder at my work that never shuts up. Do you think there's a connection? I want you to know I believe there's a connection. And so I encourage you to leave this campground. You say, well, Pastor, usually when the pastors come to preach to us, they get us all fired up and we get all blessed and we jump and we dance. And I say, great. But let's go home and say, Holy Spirit, do you have an assignment for me? Do you have somebody you want me to talk to? It's about God's timing. And then I don't think I need to say this to you people. Be respectful and gentle. And I know that that's not the only way to share your faith, and I'm going to cover that in just a moment as I close. Here's the take home. Make a friend list. Pray for them. Take a risk. Engage people. Assume the burden of conversation. Can I have a drink of water? If you need the Bible in verse, there it is. Can I come up and get in your chair, you know, your chariot? Can I sit beside you? Do you know what you're reading? Do you have any clue what you're reading in the book of Isaiah? Can I help you? And then remember, tell your story. And it works best if we say, now, if I were to answer your question, I'd likely need to tell you a bit of my faith journey for it to make sense. Would that be okay? Yeah, that would be great. Okay, so here we go. And that's why we went over that. So, how many know, if I said four spiritual laws, you'd know exactly what that is? Does anyone know that what that is? Four spiritual laws? That is the booklet that was developed by Campus Crusade for Christ. My Holy Spirit Pentecostal pastor dad, at 15 years of age, put me in his car and drove me to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, between Christmas break and New Year's, and said, you know what, son? I know you've been listening to a lot of preachers on the radio, and you're really into even the lots of stuff. And it's good for you. It's good. It's good for you, son. But I thought you could learn from people that don't agree with us on everything, but they sure know how to lead people to Jesus. And he dropped me off and left me there for a week. That's the truth. And you know what? I learned a lot. And I came home and I saw my high school as a place to share my faith. And so I carried four spiritual laws. Right now, I'm carrying Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. It's a plan. You hold it in your hand. You read it with them. My wife carries, no matter who you are or what you've done wrong, Jesus loves you. Invite Jesus into your heart, and he will change your life. And she loves to do this on the street. People who are really in trouble. And we never know how the Holy Spirit's going to work, but we need to have a system. Now, how many in this room would know who Ray Comfort is? Anybody know who Ray Comfort is? Okay, you're tracking with me. So Ray Comfort is a man from Australia. The reason he's well known is because Kirk Cameron... How many remember who Kirk Cameron is? Well, Kirk Cameron has become quite connected to Ray Comfort. And they go everywhere leading people to the Lord. And we're going to put their, what do you call that? Those, what is that called? A QR code. I want you to notice the QR codes. God's tool. GodToolsApp.com. That is an American website. They used to be called Campus Crusade. They're now called Crew. And in Canada, it's called Power to Change. But on the left, you can get all the tools and training and all kinds of stuff. On the right, you can, these guys at Living Waters, which is the comfort organization, and here's how they're going to teach us to share. They do not start with God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's not where they start. Now, I have done both, and I want you to know I try to be respectful to each person, and I do what I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to do. But here's how Ray Comfort shares. How you doing? Doing okay? Would you consider yourself a Christian? Yeah, of course. I'm a Christian. Have you ever sinned? What do you mean? I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. Have you ever told a lie? Well, of course I've lied. Everybody's lied. Do you know what the Bible says about liars? I can hardly believe he does this, but he does it. I've watched him many times on YouTube. And he says, so you're a liar. Well, do you know what the Bible says? That we're all under God's judgment. Me too. I was a liar. I've sinned in many, many ways. And then he talks about judgment, condemnation from God. And then he says, however, here's the good news. And Ray Comfort says that the good news in our world means very little if the person doesn't know the bad news. Right? So he says, give them a little dose. And he says the best way is to let them do it with their own mouth. So let them tell you they've lied. Let them tell you they've stolen. Let them tell you whatever. And then you say, well, then the Bible says you're in trouble. And I'd like to show you how to know Jesus and come out from under that. And it's not getting bad people to become good. It's getting dead people to come alive to the Spirit. So I want you to take what I've shared last night and tonight and say, Holy Spirit, how do you want to work this into my life? This prayer list, this 3-minute testimony. Lord, I'm going to listen to Ray Comfort. I'm going to listen to the folks at Crew. I'm going to learn what I can learn, and I'm going to take the initiative, and I'm going to try to break into people's world and share the gospel. And everyone in the house said, amen. Amen. Can we pray for people on your list right now? Father, just to my left, my house, I got to get pointed the right way here. To my left, Lord, you know who lives there. You know that just before I came down here, she was telling me about her young adult children and how worried she is about alcohol consumption and things like that. Lord, we are not done yet. Help me to revisit, to tell her that I've been thinking about what she asked me to pray about and how concerned I am, and that she too could have relationship with Christ in a personal way. So Lord, I pray that everyone in this room will experience that, and that you'll speak to us, and you'll wake us up, and you'll help us to know who we need to talk to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you are really timid, and you say, how in the world would I ever do this? Here's a little help. You go to someone, you got your 3-minute testimony, and you say, you know, I went out to camp this week with Church of the Rock, and there was this guy, sort of an old guy there, And he taught us how to write out our little testimony, our faith journey. And then he said, why don't you share it with someone? So this is part of my homework. Would you let me share my faith journey with you? What do you think of that? And then when you're done, you say, and in my life, when I accepted Christ, I just prayed a little prayer like this. And you share the little prayer with them. And then you say, would you like to pray this prayer with me? And then if they say no, I did this 2 weeks ago on a Sunday morning with my friend Harjo, the Sikh. He said, no, I don't think I'm ready. And I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how close do you think you are? I've never done that in my life. That's like an insurance salesman, you know? So I've never done that, but I did it with him. And you know what? He didn't faint. He says, I'm getting closer. See you tomorrow night.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce, just stay up here.
Yes,
can you
sir.
Put that up, love? Or whoever's doing this. This is what we are doing in fall as a church and running yes. through. And Pastor Mark's preached a message. And you have, like, bookended us here, my friend. Begin with prayer, which yeah. he's totally got us doing, right? And we're doing that. Then you listen with care. You eat together. You serve yeah. in love. And share the story is exactly that he's done. You preached all of Mark's stuff. I have no idea what he's going to preach.
I feel so good about that. I could just cause him some grief. Hallelujah.
I knew you would be excited about that.
Hey, thank you. He's smart enough to figure out what to do. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
I think that's true.
Okay.
Hey, here's what we're going to do. Do you want to stand? And if some of you need to go get your kids, you can go ahead and do that now. And Bruce and Miriam, if you want to just come up. I know that there are some people who, the people who are really close to you, and some of these might be your kids, might be your parents, might be some people who your heart is actually broken because they are not following the Lord. And this is so hard for you. And if that's you, we want to pray for you because we understand that, you know, your neighbor is good and you want to reach out to them and you care for them. But there's some people who actually are just tearing you apart because they're on your heart. And that maybe that's your neighbor, right? Maybe you really have that burden for your neighbor. We would love to pray for you, okay? Go ahead and get your kids. But the rest of you, if you want some of us to pray for you, you guys want to come on up too? We would love to pray, and we're going to agree, and we're going to speak faith into you that God has a plan for that person in your life who has maybe run away from Jesus or maybe is doing their best, building a testimony. That's what it's called. They're struggling, so we're gonna take some time. So the rest of you, would you mind just, as Tiana sings, you can join in on the song. But we're going to call anybody up who would like to have prayer and just be encouraged for that person in their life that needs to know Jesus.